Hello, my friends, and welcome to this episode of Stand Up and Marvel. Today, we're talking about the premiere episode of Ms. Marvel. This is our complete breakdown and thoughts on the episode, so there will be spoilers. If you want to hear our overall thoughts on the episode without spoilers, you can check out our previous episode. Anyway, without further ado, let's get into it. All right, so let's get into it here. So I guess I'll just do a quick episode recap. So starts off, we get to see Kamala's podcast, which I'm sure she had a lot of fun doing that, being a huge Marvel nerd. And then they do the driving test, and she just reverses into her driving instructor's car, just totals it pretty much. And the rest of the episode is her and her best friend, Bruno, trying to plan AvengerCon, and then eventually they end up going to AvengerCon. Some point earlier in the episode, she gets a bracelet from her mom, which apparently belonged to her grandmother or her great-grandmother. I'm not quite sure which. And then at AvengerCon, she ends up doing a Ms. Marvel cosplay, goes on the stage to be a part of the Ms. Marvel Captain Marvel cosplay competition. And she wants to put something on, like in addition to the normal costume, to make it unique. So she was planning on using gloves that Bruno made for her. She leaves them in the bathroom, so she ends up putting on the bracelet instead. And then she gets the Ms. Marvel powers, and then she starts shooting off these like energy, what do we call it? It's not really a beam.
Like a disc? Sure. Oh, it's like a disc a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it materializes. Like
yeah, shoots off like energy discs. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people freak out. A couple people almost die. she saves.
Someone gets hit by a giant Thor hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she saves that girl by stretching, quote unquote, her arms out to catch her. And then they retreat and, you know, it's recorded. And then the episode basically ends. And then we get an end credits scene with an organization looking at the YouTube clip of that whole scene at AvengerCon. And then they say, like, we need to grab her, get her, or something. Yeah, that's basically the whole episode. There's a lot of details I'm leaving out, but that's kind of big picture what happens in the episode. So it was a fun episode. You know, we talked about a lot of this already in our non-spoiler episode, but the music was really good, brought a lot of life to the episode. There were some parts of the episode that, in my opinion, weren't really great. There were some like cringy moments, mostly toward the beginning of the episode, and you could kind of tell that the actress Iman Vellani, that she was, you know, relatively new. This is her professional debut. I don't know how much experience she's had with acting before this, but anyway, I don't want to ramble on too much more here. I'll give you guys a chance to
I didn't feel any cringy moments. I just thought that there was a couple moments that I just didn't care for. I didn't think it was that cringe, considering, you know, this is lighter, and, you know, this is kids in high school, and it's just a different vibe, different tone than what we're used to. But I didn't catch that she had a podcast. I thought she had like a YouTube channel, because she mentioned that Scott Lang has his own podcast. So I thought
she used the word podcast,
because she mentioned that, yeah, because it was, she had her YouTube channel because she had all these videos of all like her fangirling over the Avengers and all of these different things, like explaining who they are and what she's passionate about with them. And then she did mention, I'm almost positive that she, because I laughed so hard, said that Scott Lang has his own podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe that, yeah.
No, she did mention that. So funny. I thought she also had her own. Well, it is YouTube, but, you know, there's video podcasts too.
So
I thought that's what it was.
But I thought that I thought it was kind of both. I thought she had her own YouTube channel and a podcast at the same time, because as she's uploading the video and doing all it, it looks kind of like she's editing the video as she's talking on her podcast, because at the very end she's like, all right, join me on the next episode and all this and that, as she's uploading it to YouTube. So it kind of made me think like she's uploading, like doing the editing on the video while while she's doing her podcast, but I could be wrong. But yeah, it was definitely, she was uploading videos to YouTube, but
it looked like almost she's a graphic artist kind of.
Yeah,
it's like not... it looked like she was, because she doodles a lot and everything, but I was getting the vibe that she was doing that online too, because she was making, because that's where I'm thrown off with podcasts, because it looked like she was making short films, like it was she was putting short films together as like a documentary in a sense, where she's like trying to like talk about like the Avengers and certain characters and stuff like that, you know what I mean? It's, so I was getting a very like a artist vibe from her, like you know what I mean, and kind of like a almost like a filmmaker, because she has like all this imagination, like, and that's what I got from the episode too. And there was that really fun scene where she explains of how they're gonna go to Avengers Con. She's like, and yeah, she's, we're just gonna take the bikes
out.
Yeah, she's drawing the whole thing out. She's like, we're gonna take the bikes off the bridge and we're gonna land right on the bus. And her friend's like, oh, what? She's like, yeah, it's gonna be great. We're
Did
gonna
we just nail jump it. Off that bridge on the bus.
Like, yeah. And then they get to the bridge when it finally happens, and they just look at each other and they're like, no. And they just go around.
Yeah, they walk their bikes down the stairs and everything. Yeah.
I love that. Like, there's just so much imagination, and it made me feel like a kid again. Honestly, it made me remember the things that I loved the most about being a kid, because there's a lot of things I didn't like about being a kid, but that's one of the key things, is that the imagination that you have and just everything. And she's so creative too. And I love it. It's just like I said before, it's such a nice change of pace for me from the intensity of Moon Knight. You know, as much as I loved Moon Knight and the complexity of it all, this is really bringing it back down, you know, as a cosmic as it is, it's bringing me down to earth again. You know, it's more humanized, I feel, so.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, there were some random parts that I just enjoyed about the episode, just random things I jotted down. So you mentioned the Scott Lang podcast. I'm hoping that they actually make that into a thing, just like all the like shorts series that they have and stuff. I think it'd be awesome if they did that on Disney Plus. I would definitely listen to that. And then let's see. So I mentioned the box. I don't know if I said the box, but the bracelet that that Kamala got from her mom, which originally came from her grandmother, her great grandmother. So you know, makes me wonder if her grandmother is or was a superhero of some kind. I tried looking it up. I couldn't find any definitive answer, but there was something about a bracelet coming from her great grandmother. I didn't really dive into it too deep, but it seems like there is some lore about that in the comics. So I think that was like the extent of it, though. They just said that it was like a bracelet that came from her great-grandmother, and that was the end of it. I don't think it actually had any powers, the one in the comics.
Right.
It was just like used to like, it was almost like a utility belt. I know, just to like hold some stuff in it.
Well, I kind of feel like the bracelet in this case is kind of like Mjolnir for Thor. As Odin described to him, it's just like, he's like, are you the god of hammers? No, you're the god. It's like the hammer was only to help you focus your powers. And so I think that's what the bracelet is for here in this case. It's only to help her focus her powers and really get a handle on them. And, you know,
because I think she has the powers without the bracelet.
I think it takes, well, I kind of do, and I think it takes a certain, like anything, a certain scenario or certain things for it to actually come out. Like, she was put in front of all these people, and she's under stress and everything for the competition and everything, and then all of a sudden her powers start to emerge, and it's just like, and you know, everything that she's gone through with her mother putting her down and everything, and trying to prevent her from fulfilling, like, she's preventing her, trying to keep her from doing this, because I think her mom knows something. Because if you when they're driving back home after the car accident, her mom says, "I blame myself because it's in my genetics. You know, my mother was a dreamer. My grandmother was a daydreamer. It's like it's all in the genetics and everything like that."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it skipped her generation, maybe, and she's just trying to prevent it from happening with her daughter, trying to as like a protection type of thing. I think that's why she was very adamant about, you know, if she's gonna go, her dad has to go with her. You know, because mm-hmm. I feel sense. Like they had this conversation, and she wants to make sure that if she's gonna go, you know, dad's gonna be there to make sure nothing happens. And she doesn't have the bracelet too, as far as they're aware of, mm-hmm. so they don't really have to worry about much. So there are subtle things within this episode that I picked up on. In that case, like
I feel like the
mom's keeping something from us, and I'm pretty sure we'll find out later on as mm-hmm. we go down the road.
Yeah, she definitely knows something about the bracelets.
Yeah, because I feel like genetics, and I feel like the dad knows too, but he's like, if you just maybe the best course is just to let her live her life, and you know, as long as she doesn't get into any situation where it's gonna force her to, you know, for her powers to emerge or anything like that. And maybe that he believes that it's just going to skip another generation or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It could be that. So that's kind of like how I got the vibe off of the mom and the dad. Like the dad's not very concerned about it, but she is for some reason,
right? And when you said Mjolnir, I was thinking the first Thor movie where he literally didn't have his powers at all until he became worthy of them again.
And right,
they basically gave him his powers back.
Right,
so that's what I was thinking. But yeah, I can definitely understand that argument, and there were a lot of subtle things in there
that support it. Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, and because like her vibe changed, like drastically changed the moment she opened up that and pulled out that bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I liked the you mentioned the car ride back after the accident with the driving instructor, which was so funny. I loved how, you know, her mom was like bumming her out, you know, she didn't want to hear it, yada yada, and she looks out the window and you see the city line of New York, and they like perfectly fit it in the frame or the reflection of Avengers Tower, which is not Avengers Tower anymore, right? We still kind of don't know what it's going to be repurposed as, but they fit it perfectly in the reflection of her window, and she like turned and she was looking at it, and it reminded her of Avengers and everything, and she started smiling, and it's just like that's what like gives her hope, you know. And think about all those times when you were a kid and you were super down, and you know, your parents were bumming you out or this or that was happening, and you always had an escape, you always had something that, you know, brought you joy and made you feel happiness. And that's her thing, is Avengers. Like, it's her obsession. Like, she loves them so much. And it's great. And it just makes sense because, you know, they show us the real world all the time. Of course, we're going to have super fans. So that's why I loved like the whole Avenger Con, even though there was an Avenger Con without like a panel, I was really, you know, it's funny because I think we had the most Avengers in a Disney Plus Marvel series since they started, but they weren't actually in it. Like, literally there was like the presence of all the characters are almost in this first episode, not that they're actually in it, but I did really respect, you know, cause you know how in after Endgame, they really focused on Tony's loss and how much of an impact Tony made. And then, you know, Peter's dealing with it in Far From Home, and they have all these like drawings and stuff of Iron Man all over the place. But no, in the Avenger Con, they had both Black Widow and Iron Man together side by side and said, like, thank you for your sacrifice. And everyone's like putting things there. But I was like, hey, what's a con without a panel? Like, I was hoping, like, you know, maybe Don Cheadle or something was going to come in there. Maybe Falcon was going to show up, you know, like because, you know, I guess we still don't really know where this timeline lands. I'd assume that it's in the present. Yeah, that was the only thing I took from it. I was like, man, we needed at least one person to show up there for the panel, but the design, how everything looked, it was beautiful, and it was really cool. And I loved the Ms. Marvel, or the Cap. We're gonna do this a lot. The Captain Marvel. What was it? It was like almost as if she was made out of like a giant like disco ball or something.
Yeah,
Oh yeah, the reflective surface.
Yeah, it looked really cool though.
It did. It did.
So I loved all that, and then just her. It's all these little things, right? And then her parents trying to make her dress up as the Hulk instead.
I love the dad's enthusiasm in that scene. It's so good.
But did you get the door? Yeah, he busted the door. Just like he's all green and everything. I was just like, he's like, ah, just like I was like, man, dads.
And then she just crushed him, and I felt that. Then, I was like, gosh, I feel bad for the dad. Yeah. He's so down.
And the mom's like, big just for Hulk, this
like moment. Little Hulk. He's obviously got to like bathe or shower or whatever to clean himself off. He's not gonna wear that. For the next couple of days. So he did it just for this like short demonstration.
He just seemed so hurt. But I loved how they referenced She-Hulk, like the She-Hulk reference in there. It's like Hulk, She-Hulk. I was just like, oh man, that's pretty epic there. Yeah.
Translation for that?
Yeah, that was the translation. Because like if you look at the where she's like, there is no Hulk, big Hulk, little Hulk, and then it's just like, well, in the recent She-Hulk trailer, there is Hulk and there's She-Hulk there. So I thought that was pretty funny. What I thought was really funny was at AvengerCon, they had a large version of Ant-Man when he's giant version, and I was just like, I was like, oh man, of all the versions to have Ant-Man there, they got the version where he goes giant man.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's great. I was like, if they're gonna do it to scale, you wouldn't be able to see him.
and then he gets decapitated.
It would be really funny if that was like being like live streamed online and Scott Lang was actually like watching his dad. And he's just like.
I will say that aside from Captain Marvel, maybe it was just me. I felt like there was a lot of nods to Ant-Man.
There were a lot in that movie or in this episode. You saw him pop up a lot more often than you did the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But what I really liked about this episode, how they took a nod to almost everyone in this episode. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
When she's in the car with her test, I don't know if anybody else caught this, but her sunglasses that she was wearing, they reminded me of Tony Stark's sunglasses. So I was just like,
I just remember seeing her friend Bruno when she was talking about. Not what he actually did, but when she was talking about it was going to happen, he dressed up exactly like Tony Stark. That was so good.
Well, that was in her
dream.
Playbook, play by play. And she's just like, we go there, we take a couple photos, and he's dressed as Tony Stark and everything.
Yeah, he
and
looked great.
And I got so disappointed when he actually showed up, and he's like, who are you? And he's like, oh, I'm Bruce Banner. I'm just like, what? Yeah. Where's the beard? Good. Where's the Tony Stark? I was just like, man, that was such a letdown.
I think it was just a point to show that, like, in your imagination, the world like is just so much better. You know what I mean? What reality actually happens. Like, he set these expectations.
No, and that's was so great about it too, is because like she's doing the whole game plan and everything, and it's all elaborate and elegant and everything, and then when she finally executes the game plan, everything's just not going as smooth as it did in her mind and everything. And I was just like,
they did make it there,
but I love when she jumped
her bike in the process.
I know, but I also like when she jumped out the window, broke the branch, she goes, that was my way back in.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, he had to lift her up over there. And of course, you knew it. You're like, her mom's totally waiting for her. Like, that's classic for anyone that snuck out when they're young.
It's just like, because like the plan was like she would get notified every time there's motion activated like near her door and everything, but she only checked her phone once.
I was like, rookie move.
Yeah, rookie move. She's no Ferris Bueller, I'll tell you that.
No. Yeah, it was just, there was like all these little things in it that were just so
also the enjoyable. Guidance counselor.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Mr. Wilson.
Yeah.
Mr. Wilson was my father.
Yeah, that was good.
Call me, my name is Gabe. Well, his name was Gabe too, so it doesn't actually work.
That was good. And then just drop the Mulan line. And then he dropped like, Mulan. Was that, that was,
he's like,
it was funny because Katie quoting Mulan. Said it.
Was you're like, quoting he Mulan? He's like, yeah, I'm quoting Mulan. And then they did the Mulan's face split between the two of them.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty cool too. And he's just like, but yeah, it's just like, it's like, yeah, I'm totally quoting Mulan.
That was good. They brought the Disney to it for sure. Because they also really quoted did. Star Wars. Didn't they say something about Vader? They said something about Vader.
I think they did.
It was something about being afraid of.
No, he's Bruno. He said, "You got to stop thinking of your mom as Darth Vader."
Yeah.
But yeah, this episode was. I love the nods to everything that there was to you, really. And honestly, I love the opening. The opening was like when she's talking about the entire Endgame thing and everything like that. She basically talked about everything that I thought was wrong with Carol Danvers in the Endgame fight. She's like, oh, they're losing and everything. And then all of a sudden, Captain Marvel shows up. And she's like, oh, yeah. She's like, and she's like, Captain Marvel punched Thanos in the face. Honestly, I don't think anybody else could have done that. And I'm just like, and then she's like, after it's over, everyone's like, well, where was she? And I was like, maybe she needed a break. And I'm like, no, she didn't need a break. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, she's touching base on like everything that I talked on. And I was just like, where was she? And she was like, maybe she needed a break. I was like, all right, Kamala, maybe she did need a break.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Yeah.
So speaking of Endgame, they do give us kind of hints as to the timing of this. I didn't see any dates or anything anywhere, but this is part 10 of her series on Captain Marvel, and she's talking about Endgame. You know, like generally when you're doing a podcast or a, you know, video series or whatever, you want to stay relevant. You don't want to wait too long to talk about stuff. So it couldn't be too long after, but it has to be at least 10 weeks after, because she does one episode a week, and this is part 10, right? So it's at least 10 weeks after, not, I would say probably not too much more than that. But, no, that's my best guess, at least.
I would say maybe a little longer than that.
I think so too.
It's probably a little longer, because I mean, if it's 10 weeks after, it's probably just modern day, because we're not that far past
it. Well, yeah, like you said, like there were bits and pieces where I thought I saw something, so I would have to go back and double check and do what you said, like frame by frame a little bit. And especially during the opening I had to do a lot of frame by frame stuff to see if I missed anything. And one thing I did see, I don't know if you guys saw it too, was her sticky note where it said Captain America sightings.
No,
I didn't guess that.
Whoa. Yeah, so it was like, there is like, as she's telling the story up on the wall, there was a little sticky note. It was in like the little corner of the screen. It says Captain America sightings on it. And it says,
wait, Captain America or Captain Marvel?
Captain, I think it said America. Because she's doing a bunch of things. I think, I'm pretty sure it's America. It could be Marvel. I could be wrong there. I think it's Marvel.
It's a fair chance it could be either, because they've been,
I would say it's Marvel, because she's really obsessed with Captain Marvel at this stage.
Right.
But yeah, so it would make more sense, Captain Marvel. But it says like Tokyo, I think that's the only one that stood out to me, but there was like four others on that list too.
Okay. People are trying to figure out where Captain America is though. So that's not that far off.
Well, that's the thing. It's just like after Endgame, it's just, you're trying to figure out where everybody else is. It's just like, where'd they go? It's just like, meetings adjourned. And they all just left.
Yeah. Cause they actually bring it up in, I think, Falcon and Winter Soldier. They're like, everyone thinks he's on the moon.
Right.
Which I think in the comics he actually is on the moon at some point in a facility, like he hides out there.
I think so, something like that.
They did it in the Avengers game too, so you're not far off. It could be either, or it'd make more sense if it's Captain Marvel.
I think it's Captain Marvel. I'm pretty after thinking about it, I'm pretty sure it's Captain Marvel, because of course she would want to know where her idol is.
Right. It's true.
So there was that. And it's, yeah, so I think it's maybe a little bit longer than 10 weeks, but other than that, not too far forward.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly when Midnight took place. It was like 2025. something, so it's probably around the same time.
Yeah.
I thought Moon Knight was the furthest that we've gotten so far. Because isn't Endgame like 2023?
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
And I'm thinking it's somewhere around No Way Home time.
I think
before No Way Home, not as much after. I think it's like the summer or the spring before No Way Home, because No Way Home was definitely like winter, fall going into winter.
We'll have to figure it out and see what other evidence we get in the other episodes.
Yeah, they're giving us a little bit of a hint with that agent that first appeared in No Way Home. So I'm kind of using him as a little bit of a guide to like land. That's at least me, because I missed that was like right in front of my face in the beginning of the episode. But I mean, I knew it was after Endgame, but I didn't know like how close it was to Endgame. Right. But my guess is somewhere in the ballpark of No Way Home.
Mm.
But we'll find out. 5 more episodes.
All right, so some other random stuff. So seems like there's a possible romance blooming between Bruno and Kamala. There was definitely a look.
There was a moment.
Together. I felt like that was moment. A little unnecessary.
Yeah. There were bits and pieces in this episode that, you know, if you took them out, it wouldn't be detrimental to the episode.
Yep.
That's one of them. I mean, you got the whole series to develop some kind of relationship between her and Bruno. You don't need to put that in the first episode.
Right.
It seems a little bit unnecessary. But it was kind of funny. And I got major like Peter Parker vibes off of Bruno, you know?
Yeah, but he's the guy in the chair, though. I was like, is he gonna be the guy in the chair from this
one? Yeah.
And then they do that, and that kind of did throw me off. I was
like I got this major like Peter Parker, Tony Stark kind of thing, you know, going on, because he also has like an application to a school, for gifted, talented people. At first, when I saw that, I was like, wait, is that an application to Xavier School for Gifted Kids? And then I was just like, nope. No, he's not that kind of gifted.
I think it was Caltech.
Caltech as well, yeah. it was just like, because like when he goes home and he goes into his room and he's working on those photon gloves and everything, like just his room just like emits like major Peter Parker vibes, where it's just like he's a young kid, he's really smart, he can build all this stuff out of nothing. It's just,
but not everything works as intended, because he had
the
Echo device.
the Zoomy
just didn't, yeah, the Zuzu.
Oh, Zuzu just
didn't work.
It was like a rinky dink Amazon Alexa that he made for, yeah. But it seemed as if something happened to his parents. Seems like he's living alone, right? He lived on top of
they did say something about his family.
I think he maybe has a legal guardian or something. Yeah, like
they
said
that. He doesn't have much of a family, I think is
right.
Which also gives also major Peter Parker vibes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, who
is he living with his aunt?
Right.
An alternate universe. Yeah. Just another Peter Parker that never got the spider bite.
On the note of that, I did notice kind of an editing goof, unless, you know, whatever, you can let your imagination roll with it, but like, what happened to all that food that her mom gave him? Like, there was like 6 containers of food and he grabbed it. And then
he walks out, and then he's crossing the street. There's nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found. No food whatsoever. He's like, oh, it's probably in his backpack. And then right when she said that, he like throws the backpack on the bed. I'm like, there's no food in there. Like, and I guess you could just throw it on the bed.
Yeah, I think he must be living with he is living with a relative or something like that. Because when Kamala's mom comes out, she said, I threw some spicy ones in there for so-and-so.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And that's when he was like, how did you do that all the time? And he's like, this is my secret. I thought that was pretty funny. I did like the mom a lot in this episode, in this series. I think there's going to be a lot of development between her and Kamala. Mm-hmm. And even the dad's funny.
Oh, that's great.
Funny as anything. He's just great.
I like the brother too.
I pretty much liked everybody. This
I kind of didn't like him at first because I was like, he's got kind of had like this stuck up kind of vibe going on with him. But then after
the Hulk.
But then he kind of chilled out.
He was number 10 on my list. Now he's number 2.
So I did come around to him after, you know, because like it was really like every time he was in the room, it was like about him and everything. But then when he said, you know, I'll talk to mom and dad about Comic-Con for you, and I was just like, all right, he's not that type of person. So
sure.
But yeah, I like the whole cast. Like, I don't think there was a person in there that I 100% like just didn't like in this. I even like the mean girl that
she's like maybe at the bottom of my list. But
hit by the hammer.
Yeah. Even though she was like, she's like the popular girl, and you know, she treats her bad and everything, and they kind of, it's kind of like, oh, we used to be friends, but we both went in two separate directions. She became the popular girl, and Kamala became, I guess, quote unquote, the weird girl. And then she's like shocked that she sees her at the Avenger Con. She's like, oh, he's like, what is she doing here? She doesn't even like the Avengers. And apparently secretly she does. So they're not that different after all.
They used to be friends. Did I miss that?
Well, yeah, because they said, why don't you ask her for a ride to Avenger Con or ask her mom? She's like, her mom used to give us rides all the time.
I guess I missed that.
And they're like, yeah, but she, you know, she's a jerk or whatever they said she was and everything like that. So I got the feeling, and you know, when she was like, oh, I like your jacket, and she's like, oh, I like your necklace. And she's like it's kind of like there was some type of connection. Otherwise, she would have just like totally dissed her and just walked away. I feel like there was some kind of friendship that's separated at that point between the two. But I also liked how she showed up in issue number 1 Miss Marvel costume. That was awesome. Because that's the original Miss Marvel costume that she showed up in. I was just like,
she's got all the details wrong. That's not the right costume.
Yeah, when Bruno's like, he's like, our costume is like spot on. We got all the details. I was like, well, technically, she's in the Miss Marvel issue number 1 costume, which is exactly what that is. But then it's just like, well, how would she know what that costume looks like and everything?
Yeah, exactly.
So, so there was a couple of things in there that I was just like, this doesn't make sense. But I just let it. I went with it. I was just like,
yeah,
at this point, we can assume that the Ms. Marvel comic exists in this universe, because even when Kamala is trying on her costume, there's a poster of Carol Danvers on her wall, and not like just her drawings or anything that we've been seeing throughout the episode, but like an actual picture of Carol Danvers, Brie Larson's Carol Danvers, just standing there posed. And I'm just like, I guess at this point, you know, Captain Marvel's been like monetized and and comics and all sorts of stuff about her at this point.
So it's one thing that I didn't really like about this episode. Didn't like how everybody kept calling her weird and kind of like shaming her for liking superheroes. It didn't make any sense to me. I didn't like it. It's not that I didn't like it because, you know, I am a fan of superheroes too. Like, it's because they're in a different world than we are. They're in a world where superheroes actually exist, where it's not just fantasy. And yet everybody's like making fun of her and saying like how weird she is. And that makes sense in our world where superheroes are just a fantasy, but in their world where they're real and you actually can become a superhero even without superpowers, like Tony Stark, like, it doesn't make sense for, you know, parents to be like shaming the children in that, you know, in the same way. You get what I mean? Like, it doesn't really translate.
Yeah and no. I mean, like, I get it. I kind of understand it from their perspective. I know. I mean, yeah, superheroes actually exist. And yeah, if you're you can be one of those few that end up being like a Tony Stark figure where, you know, you don't have powers, but you can end up being a superhero anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm pretty sure when it comes to the parents, like I can understand, you know, parents kind of discouraging kids because, you know, they're concerned about them. It's like, it's a dangerous job to be a superhero, you know.
Sure. I'm pretty but they're sure like they... calling her childish and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's where it really
that's the one thing that like I didn't like about it too, because like they're calling her like they were like calling her weird, they're saying her head's in the clouds and everything like that, and just like they're like she's too focused on all these superheroes and everything like that. You know, you got to be in reality. And I didn't like when especially when Mr. Wilson said that, he's like, you got to focus on reality. I'm like, the reality is that they, like you said, they do exist. It's just like, it's not like they're made up characters in their universe. They actually right. do exist. But like any of those people, you put one of the Avengers, you take just one of the Avengers and you put them in a room with everybody else there, they're going to go crazy. You're going to be like, oh my God, it's Captain America or Captain Marvel or whoever. It's just like, you even... Bruce Banner Hulk, you know, you put him in the room and everyone's gonna go crazy and going, oh my God, you know. And then it's just kind of like hypocritical when they do yeah. it to her. I don't like that.
I get it. But I think that it fits what they were going at for the story for her as a high schooler growing up, where they wanted to make it a point that when you're in high school, you want to continue to be a kid and you want to continue to be in the clouds, you know, you want to have imagination, you want to have fun, but in really, really quick, because it's, you know, she's basically a senior, right? Like, yeah.
I think she's in her junior year.
Junior, about to be a senior. So,
yeah,
you know, they're pushing it, you know, you got to start thinking about what you want to do with your life. You got to start thinking about, it's time to get serious now. And where I think that's where they're kind of trying to drive that home. And that's kind of where I didn't feel off on them kind of pushing her to get her head out of it and to be focused on what she wants to do, because I feel like that's going to be kind of an overarching point to the whole show, is that eventually when she comes to be and they realize that she's meant for this, her parents, everyone's going to kind of fall in line and be like, oh, you know, this is her destiny. You know, we don't have to, they just want what's best for her. So they want her to start thinking, you know, mature and, you know, because, you know, our parents did the same thing more or less when we were younger, you know, you know, stop drawing, stop doing this, stop playing video games, stop, blah, blah, it's time to, you know, go to college and figure out what you want to do for the next 50 years of your life.
But
my mom still says that stuff.
I guess though is they should have gone about it a different way. Like calling her childish and weird would make sense in our world, where they're just fantasy characters, they don't exist. But going more along the lines of saying, like, even if you could become a superhero, I forbid it, you know, it's too dangerous, I don't want you to die. Like, you know, that's the route they should have taken that would make a lot more sense in their world. That's just kind of my point.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the very overprotective way, like, if they did it, like, where they're just overprotective and they're just trying to protect her from... You know, they don't want to see their daughter like get hurt or anything like that, or any of them, like all the teachers, like, we don't want to see you get hurt, you know, pursuing something that is a dangerous career. That would have came off a little bit better. But, you know, again, it's high school. She's in high school. High school is just that way. You know, teachers are there to tell you to teach you how to become an adult, basically, you know, get you ready for your future. Supposedly, I mean, high school's changed a lot since my time.
Right. I can see, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
But yeah, it's just like I can see how like her teachers are just trying to protect her and get her ready for a future. Like, obviously, they don't know her background, her family history. Like, nobody thinks that she'll ever become a superhero. And so they're just trying to deter her from wasting, I guess, her life on trying to become one and, you know, just have a regular normal life, working a job day to day and going to school, getting a good job and all that stuff. But yeah, they could have approached it a little bit differently, like you said, Colin.
Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, part of the reason I think it bothered me is because I've been watching Big Bang Theory a lot lately. And the amount that they like make fun of, you know, the main cast because of their obsession with comics and stuff, like in today's, you know, the level of acceptance that, you know, people have nowadays, and, you know, you're not supposed to make fun of people because of different choices and all that, the PC culture that we're in right now, I feel like that show would not be okay nowadays, because they are really, really mean about like the fact that the main cast is nerds, they love comics, and it just really bothers me watching that show. Like, it's still funny, I still enjoy it, but there are a lot of things about that show that bother me.
It is you make a good point, because I've been watching a lot of Big Bang Theory as well, and I do recognize that, like, they really come down hard on them for liking even Sheldon's girlfriend Amy comes down on him for liking comic book characters, and she actually in one episode tells him, she's like, isn't it a little silly to be reading comic books and everything like that, and Sheldon defends himself, and I was just like, I don't like how they give, like, people who love comics, people who love superheroes and all that stuff a bad rap, because, you know, it's just like, oh, you know you can't take them serious because they like watching cartoons, comic books, and their heroes are actual superheroes, you know. But if it wasn't for like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think, and a little bit of Big Bang Theory, it probably wouldn't be more accepting than it is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the masses watch Big Bang Theory. I mean, that was popular show, and that came out. It's
become a cult classic. It's just...
And I can understand the psychological aspect of their world, because you got to think too, there's going to be some animosity because half of existence was just wiped for 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, not everyone's going to be super down, regardless that they saved their lives. They're still going to be, like, think about what happened in Civil War. Like, people are still going to be like pissed about it, you know, that it's affected their life in that way because of the events that they've done. They don't look at it as, oh, they're defending us from Thanos and all this and da-da-da. They look at it, no. They're the reason why all this is happening, and they ruined our life, and this happened. This impacted me. So I totally get, you know, the parents wanting to protect their kids and not go that direction, for sure. I understand, with all the other players in it with, you know, I don't remember her really getting picked on by kids in the show. But I do remember, like, the adults coming down on her hard.
Just that one scene when she went to school and she's trying to do her thing. She waved to a couple of girls and they're like, "Did you see how she waved? Weird." And then she tried to get her books in from her locker, and the other two are just like, "We're in the middle of something." She's like, "Fine, I'll just Google the periodic table." It's just like,
same thing. Kind of happened. Was one of those cringy moments that I was talking about earlier.
It was a little bit of a cringy moment. Yeah. But again, it's just like, I guess they were just making the point that she's kind of like, she doesn't really awkward. Fit in. She doesn't fit in high school, except for her two friends. You know, at least that's as far as I can tell. There's Bruno, and then there's the other girl. I don't think we got her name.
Was it Nakia?
Oh, it might have been
Nakia. Yeah. Well, they didn't really give her much time. This one was really this episode was more focused on her and Bruno's relationship.
Her and Bruno.
Where I feel like we're gonna get her and Nakia later.
Yeah, I feel like we'll get Nakia later. I mean, we got a lot more coming towards us. It's just one of those things, you know. She's kind of the outcast, but she's going to come into her own. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It reminded me kind of Peter and Ned, you know, when they're in high school and homecoming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like the same element in a way. Yeah, I do feel like they captured some of the magic of homecoming. Like, I still felt like that energy, like that young energy, like the... Like, it just felt good. I'm not saying it's like fully like homecoming, it's in its own, but I still felt some of that energy for sure. So
what do you guys think happened to Kamala and her family during like Infinity War, like post Infinity War, like early Endgame? Do you think they got snapped? Do you think they survived the snap?
I think they survived the snap. I think the whole family was alive through the whole thing. because they seem like very connected and very close. And I feel like if one of the members left for 5 years, we kind of voted, they might have already said it, acknowledge it, like, oh, you know, you got to go with your dad wasn't here for this amount of time, or her mom was like, look at what happened to me, you know, blah blah blah. Like, they didn't really dive into the snap at all, so yeah, because of that, it just made me feel like it didn't really impact their family as much as it did others.
Yeah, that's kind of my initial thought too, but the more I think about it, I think if anything, maybe the brother was snapped away, because they're like willing to bend over backwards and do anything.
That's what I was about to say. I was going to say, maybe they just don't talk about the fact that he was snapped away, but he was, and he got brought back. And that's why, I kind of got that feeling, because like when she's asking to go to AvengerCon and they're saying no and everything, and then she pulls him over and she's like, if he asked, you would just say, oh yeah, he's the perfect son. You know, he would get whatever he wants. And it's just like, probably because he was snapped away and he missed 5 years, and just like, yeah, give him anything he wants.
Right.
You know,
I could see that.
And they just don't talk about it. And that might be another underlying thing for her mom, is the whole reason why she's against her becoming a superhero, is because, well, her son got snapped away for 5 years. And, you know, she already had to go through maybe she's already had to go through the whole tragic experience of losing one of her kids. Yeah. She doesn't want to go through that again. Yeah,
right.
You know, while the father's kind of more understanding and everything, or maybe I'm no psychologist or anything, or maybe he's just buried it. He's just erased it from his mind.
And or maybe he was snapped away too.
I know that it could be that they were both snapped away, and maybe that would explain why she and her mom don't get along so well. Is because the father and son were snapped away. And, you know, she had to live those 5 years with her mom through that period of time. And then when they came back, you know, it's like they don't even remember. It was like seconds for them. You know, 1 second they're standing, and then the next second they're gone, and then they're back. It's like, it's as if they never left. And they come back. And I feel like that's why the father's also kind of like on Kamala's side too, because he probably got snapped away. She was 5 years younger when he came back. She's grown up now, and she's just kind of like Scott Lang when he comes back and he sees his daughter. And he's just like, you know, he'll bend over backwards for his daughter because he's missed her for the past 5 years.
Yeah, too. Crucial years, 11
yeah,
to 16.
These are, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like the mother will do anything for the son because he got snapped away. And she missed all that time with him, and the father got snapped away, so he'll bend over backwards for the daughter because he missed all that time with her. So it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, there's only
I'm sure they'll reference it later.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We know she wasn't snapped though, for sure.
Yeah,
like she knows way too much to be.
It's almost like she was there, like on the battlefield, because she's describing the whole situation frame by frame, and I was just like,
I wouldn't say it's clear cut necessarily. Just because, you know, there's going to be news and, you know, lots of coverage about those events, so she could have easily heard about it.
And I'm sure she's done like all the research too, because like in the little snippets of when she's talking about the battle and everything, and she's talking about how they're on the verge of losing and everything, that's one of the moments when I did the frame by frame thing, because I thought I saw something and I went back and I confirmed. If you see the cartoon version of what she drew for Captain America, when she drew him with his shield cut in half from when Thanos broke it. So it's just like, I was like, that's a detail that, you know, you really gotta find. I don't think that's something that they would just let out, you know.
It's true though. That's, I mean, she's a Superman. She's gonna know everything. So it could be either or.
Yeah. So it's just, you know.
Did her due diligence.
Oh yeah, especially it speaks to her character. It really does, because she's so obsessed with the Avengers and everything like that she would know every little detail about everything that happened.
He's gonna be so hyped when she's finally like on the team. It's like, how is she gonna be able to keep her composure when that happens? She's gonna mess up though.
Super fangirl for the first.
I think
that's true, and she's gonna be like a super fan girl, and she's gonna be kind of like the wild card, She's definitely gonna cause some, I think she's gonna cause some issues when it comes to things where she's finally in like a fight with the other Avengers. Like she's gonna be in a position where she's gonna be vulnerable and she's gonna just like, or she's gonna just be so overwhelmed that she's gonna like freeze. Like she's gonna be like a deer in headlights and then one of them's gonna like have to intervene.
Yeah. 100% and, probably. Yeah.
And be like, hey, the big leagues now. You know,
they're definitely going to play that passion into a weakness later on.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I'm sure, you know, either whether it's Brie Larson or one of the other Avengers where they just kind of like sit her down and be like, hey, listen, you kind of have to focus on the, you know, when you're out there, you got to focus. When we're together, you know, you could be yourself.
Kind of like Peter in Civil War.
It's just like Peter Parker's like, usually there's not much this much talking when you're in a fight. It's just whoa, is your arm made out of metal?
That's so cool.
Love to see how her and Peter Parker would get along and
We're getting it. 100%.
I was gonna say if there was gonna be one person to show up at AvengerCon, it should have been
Him. Yeah, and that's why I feel like it's kind of
swung in. I would have been happy if, as Ant-Man's head was falling over, Spider-Man came in and webbed the head, and just was like, "Whoa, that was a close one."
Everybody gets one.
I love how they even brought us back to his like moment of how he felt in Homecoming. Like that was the opening of Homecoming, was him making his own documentary of how he went to Germany. And like you really got how much passion and how excited he was. Like one of my, I love the scene so much, like with Jon Favreau, where like he's like talking on the screen really fast. It's like freaking out and everything. And then he's in a connected room with Happy, and Happy walks in and he just flips upside down. He goes, "What's up?" He goes, "The walls are thin. I'm trying to sleep, dude." Like, it's just, it was like, that's like the perfect, like when you're a kid and you're so excited, like Christmas morning or something, like you cannot sleep. Like you can't, you're just boom. Like, and that was just captured so simply, but like, perfect. It was just,
you think they did the same thing with Iman that they did with Tom Holland, where they just she doesn't even know what the episode's about. They just brought her gave her a script opposite. And said, "This is what your scene is gonna be."
I think she knows more, because I think that she has so much respect for it and she loves it so much. Not that Tom doesn't. I'm just saying that I think that what I'm getting from her personality and so far, I think that she would be a safe one, like to to like keep
she's
it
not gonna,
for herself.
When, when she goes on interviews or anything like that, they may give her a chaperone, but I don't think she's gonna be one of those people that like divulges like really big secrets out to the public like Tom would.
Yeah, because Tom's like really excited in real life, so he just gets like he just starts like talking about it and doesn't realize where he's at, and he's just like, "Oh,
but, you know," I kind of never understood why they gave Tom a chaperone, and like I understand like he can't keep secrets, but it must be stuff that people are telling him about the movie, because when he was talking about filming, he was like, "I had no idea what was going on." I would come in, I would read the script, tell me this is the scene I'm doing, and because he's like, "I had no idea what was going on," and he's like, "I honestly don't know what's going on in Endgame." I'm just like somebody had, either he watched the movie and he's going out on these things and now he's letting stuff loose, and that's why they gotta give him chaperones. They should have just not let him watch the movie. He's like, "Tom, the movie's out. Don't watch it." Don't watch it for at least 3 months after it's out, and then you can talk about it. But he kind of needs like his non-spoiler interview.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, he does interviews live.
I know. But yeah. I think she's gonna be great. I think the whole cast is gonna be great. It's gonna
I'm looking forward to the rest of this. All right, so let's talk Easter eggs. We've already talked some of them. I don't know if you have more, Tim, but I've got
I got
handful.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it's kind of easy one, I guess. So there's winged sloths all over the place. There's pictures of them everywhere, and then at one point, her brother ends up giving her her winged sloth plushie. So that's just a reference to the winged sloth that she has in the comics, just carries around with her a lot, plushie. So That's all that is.
And her name is the, what is it? Her YouTube name? Like her persona is the sloth, the
something sloth production.
I said it earlier, now it's on my mind again. And she had it on her backpack too.
Yeah.
She had her brand.
Sloth baby.
Sloth baby.
Yep, there you go.
That was it.
There it is.
All right. Somebody else want to give an Easter egg?
I feel like I talked about a couple.
Yeah, I got plenty more.
Yeah,
keep going.
You got it?
Keep going. I think I've mentioned most of the ones that I found.
Okay. So this one, I'm not really sure what it's an Easter egg for. I was trying to figure it out. But there are lots of eyes, like lots and lots of eyes in the episode. At one point, you only see it for like, I swear it's like a single frame, but they show her foot as she's about to step on the pedal during her driver's test. And there's a giant eye. It's like blue and yellow eye on her shoe. And then there's a lot of moments like when they're showing like, you know, tons and tons of stuff on the walls. At one point they're at like the basketball court and there's graffiti in the background. And there's one frame where there's a whole bunch of eyes just scattered on the wall. And there's several other moments like that with just lots and lots of eyes. So I don't know what that's supposed to be a reference to. You know, I was initially thinking some like interdimensional being that has a bunch of eyes. I was looking at pictures of Shmagorath and the one that we got in Doctor Strange, whatever his name is, like Gargantos or something.
Yeah.
But that's just tentacles, not eyes. There's just the one eye, but it could still be a reference to him just because, you know, he's basically an eye with legs. So I'm not really sure what that's a reference to, but there were a lot of eyes. Possibly Illuminati too. So I think, isn't there a symbol, like an eye? So yeah, something not like sure what that
like
is.
The eye in the pyramid or something like that?
Mm. Yeah. So I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more, but okay. Something to do with eyes.
Did not catch that.
There were a couple others that I found in there, yeah. Now that you mention it.
Yeah, do you have another one?
No. Well, the ones that you mentioned were the ones that I remember now that they're coming back to my head, but...
Okay.
But yeah.
And Marvel Zombies reference. So we got all those like when they were
I did like that when she was like trying to come up with her flourish to add, and he's just like, what about zombie Captain Marvel?
Yeah, there are all those different versions, like Black Panther Captain Marvel, the Iron Man Captain Marvel.
That reminds me when she talked about the Doctor Strange mm-hmm. Captain Marvel mashup, because I believe there is a comic out there where Doctor Strange and Carol Danvers actually get together.
Wow.
I thought that was pretty interesting. It's like one of the later versions of the comics for Doctor Strange, but pretty interesting. And I just like the artwork that they did when they were going through
at the end of that they showed all the different versions of Captain Marvel together, and I was thinking, oh man, I really hope they do a multiverse.
Like, yeah, but also my favorite was when they gathered all the different versions of Captain Marvel on the wall there, and then they're like, except for zombies, no zombies, and then the zombie Captain Marvel had a sad face. it just stood out to me. I was like, oh, that poor zombie Captain Marvel. But yeah.
All right, so this one, I'm not sure if this is an actual reference or not. I think I'm probably just being optimistic here. But at one point, the dad was talking to Kamala, and he said something about flying vultures in Armani suits buying up the whole neighborhood. And, you know, I hear vulture, I think vulture, obviously. And that's me wishfully thinking, maybe that's them referencing, like, Sony taking away Vulture from us. Maybe I was trying to get him back.
I didn't even think about that.
That's so funny. I don't know. I'm hoping that means there's a chance we'll get him back, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
That's fair.
All right, so there's a circle Q. They show that at one point. I think it's like the floor, the ground level of the apartment. complex that Bruno lives in.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a convenience store in the comics.
Yeah, he like lives above the convenience store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the comics, it's kind of like Miss Marvel's unofficial headquarters.
Mm. Fair.
Then there's a reference to djinns. Djinns are basically genies.
Yeah.
That's when the Alexa equivalent device was freaking out, and then
where his father is just like, this device is possessed by an evil djinn.
So I was trying to look that up. There was no djinn in Miss Marvel comics, but there was a djinn in one Thor comic, and there was a theory. I don't know if this was like a meme theory or what, but when they showed in the trailer for Miss Marvel, those guys that were like coming out of the fog in the alleyway, there was a theory that they were like four djinns or something. I don't think that's actually true, but you know, there's a reference to them. So, you know, maybe we're getting djinns later on in this series.
I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't get djinns in this series, because just because of how much, you know, the family kind of fears djinns, you know, especially as an evil entity, more like a wish-granting genie. They're more considered like evil spirits, because like the father's like, this is an evil djinn, like possessing my technology. And then the mother had mentioned something about a djinn as well.
Did she?
I think she did, because I do remember it was referenced twice.
Okay.
And not in good ways.
Yeah.
So
I maybe the djinns are like trying to steal her powers or something.
Maybe, or you know,
trying
maybe
to get magic for themselves.
Yeah, and maybe her powers or the bracelet is derived from like djinn magic or something like that. And,
maybe,
you know, djinns are gonna be after. Basically, it paints her a target because the djinns want it now. Something like that. You know.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, she's on the live stream now.
All right, so I got two more. Saved the my two favorites for last year.
Probably my two favorites too.
So in the beginning, when she's doing the podcast, there's like maybe a frame or two where you see a cockatiel with a bunch of question marks around it. So it's it's a white bird. It's got Captain Marvel's hairstyle. And so I looked it up, and there was a cockatiel in the Miss Marvel comics. I don't know how many issues he was in, but it was basically a cross between a cockatiel and Thomas Edison.
Okay.
Spliced their DNA together. It didn't have the same hairstyle, so it's not identical. It was definitely a different hairstyle. Same color, though. So I was unsure about this, but then later on in the episode, when they're on the rooftop, they're sitting on the roof of the Edison Electric building. So I put the two together, spliced them together, and
I thought you were going. You were going the different route that I took away from that cockatoo photo, because if you look underneath the cockatoo photo, there's a picture of a plane, and then there's a picture of Captain Marvel as a salute to Superman. A bird, a plane, it's Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's good.
Because I was looking at that, because like I had to stop. I was like, what the hell does that cockatoo mean? And then I looked underneath. I was like, oh, wait, bird, plane, Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that could definitely be it. Sure.
I can't confirm that's what it was a salute to, but it just made sense in my head. I was just like, oh, that's funny. But I wouldn't be surprised about the Edison thing. That's definitely cool too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're actually getting him. I think if anything, it's probably just a nod to that to that character.
Sure.
But so hopefully that's what they intended. It's pretty cool. All right, so I have my favorite one for last year. Are there any others that you've thought of gonna bring up or no?
I do, but I don't know if it's gonna be your favorite one.
Well, you go ahead.
Okay. I'll just say, okay, so the two that I was thinking of what happens at the Avengers Con. I don't know if your ultimate one.
That's probably not.
Okay. So one of the ones that I thought was awesome, Actually, there's three of them, and they're all actually Captain America related.
Okay, definitely not mine then.
Okay, so when they walk into the Avengers Con, the song that that's playing is the song that that all the girls were singing in Captain America: The First Avenger when he's on stage doing the tour and everything. Yeah, it's that song where he punches out Hitler every single time. I thought that was great where they're just playing it, and I was just like, oh, I know this song very well. The other one was when you get a small look at a book that's on sale, and it's a cartoon of Captain America, and it's got the big butt on it.
That was funny.
And it says, it's Captain America, and it says, "You're welcome." You're welcome. Referencing when Ant-Man says, "As far as I'm concerned, Cap, that's America's butt."
That was the end game, right?
Yeah.
So he fights himself and he looks.
Is America's butt.
That was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I think on the banner in Avengers Con, it said, like, it referenced the camp of where Captain America was born. And I thought that was a cool homage because you really have to research all that stuff. I was like actually quite surprised at how much Cap stuff was in there too. Because they also try on the helmet too.
So this is the home of Captain America, right?
Yep.
So they went to Brooklyn. I took it that the VengerCon was in
that Brooklyn. Would make sense as to why there was a lot more Captain stuff in there than other people, because it was in Brooklyn. Okay, that makes more sense to me now. Oh, and I think there was one more, but I can't remember what it is. So
all I'll right. let Colin. If you go. Think of it. All right. So there were two recurring images in this episode. One was tentacles, lots and lots of tentacles, at least like five different times throughout the episode. And another was cats. What does that make you think of?
Goose right off the bat with cats.
Yeah.
And
there's no other cat that I can think of other than Goose.
Goose in one movie. That's Captain Marvel.
And he's got tentacles coming out of him.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe we're getting a Flerken.
Oh, okay. Man.
Later episode.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be wild.
I'd be surprised if Goose made a cameo in this area.
I know, because I'm not expecting anything like from space. I feel like this whole show is going to be on Earth, but hey.
Well, isn't Goose technically on? He was technically on Earth with
last we saw. Yeah, with, Fury. I mean, that was a while ago, but we don't know how long.
Yeah, we don't know how long Clerkins live.
I mean, cats live a pretty long life. You know, 20-25.
Yeah, if they're not sick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A long healthy imagine. Life, it could be like 20-25 years. I mean,
right.
A Flerken. I mean, we also don't know like as far as Goose the Flerken is, like, we don't actually know his age either. We know, he's a young Flerken and he's got a whole life ahead of him. So, like, that'd be really awesome if we got a Flerken in this.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I'm really hopeful.
I would be really happy if Fury made a cameo appearance and he's holding Goose.
That would be enough for me.
And be like, as she starts joining the Avengers and everything, kind of like to make her more comfortable. Be like, here's my friend Goose. She's like, oh, what a cute guy. He's like, careful.
Mm-hmm. Or she finds Goose and brings her to
Fury,
to Captain Marvel.
Oh, Captain Marvel! That's true too. Yeah,
because Fury's like, we don't even know. We assume that he's building the new shield, sword base in space. Mm. That's like literally the last thing we got of him, which was the post credit of Far From Home.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're gonna see him again later in the year in Secret Invasion, but that would be awesome. I didn't catch that, and that would be super cool if Goose popped back. And that makes sense too, kind of in a way.
I didn't catch it either, and good catch on that one.
Yeah, good catch for sure.
So tentacles are like everywhere. There's a bunch of cats in the principal's office, and then there's also a bunch of cats on Kamala's wall by her mirror. So
yeah, and I did see a cat in her house, so
that's so we'll see. It'd be awesome if we got another Flerken appearance, but
oh, that'd be so great.
Oh yeah.
Or if it's like the son of Goose.
Wow.
Rooster.
Give Goose a whole like arc.
Well, that's all I got. Anything else you guys wanna go into real quick?
No, I'm excited. I'm ready for the next five episodes.
I had to look this one up because I wasn't sure if I saw it or not. But I just looked it up. When she's doing the whole planning out thing, and she's explaining to Bruno the entire plan and everything, when she gets to the point where she's like, we'll go to AvengerCon, we'll take some photos and everything. Mm-hmm. She actually does a salute to Chadwick Boseman and T'Challa with the Wakanda Forever. She does in one of her pictures that she takes in her imagination. She does the Wakanda Forever salute. I thought I saw it, but then I couldn't confirm it because and I was watching it on lunch at work, so I didn't really have enough time to go back and scroll through every single scene that I wanted to go back for. Sure. So that's why I had to look this one up to see if I actually saw it or not. But yeah, it's like right there. She does the Wakanda Forever salute, and I thought that was pretty cool because you know, Black Panther, T'Challa, what is one of my favorite Avengers. Even though he's given the powers of the Black Panther through the plant and everything, he's still only like a heightened. He's almost like a different version of Captain America. Like Captain America has a heightened abilities, but he's not like super, you know. And Black Panther's got the vibranium suit and everything, so he's got that. So it's kind of like I kind of like characters more like that, where they're not like super overpowered and they have like all these different things going on, which makes them even more interesting because they have to work harder to keep up with everybody else.
More relatable too.
Yeah, kind of like Hawkeye. It's just like, you know, he had to practice really hard to be really good with that bow because he had nothing else.
Yep.
You know. I just thought that was really cool how they did a little salute to Wakanda Forever.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. But that's all I got.
Mike, anything else?
No, I think we covered it.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah, looking really liked the episode.
Looking forward to this series, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys are pleasantly surprised, because I know you were you both were a little skeptical before this, and we didn't know until we know. We never know until we know.
Yeah, you never know until you know.
Yeah. So with that said, we're ready, and we're excited to see what's to come for Kamala Khan.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Well, we'll call it there. Thank you all so much for joining us. We love Marvel, so we could do this all day, but for now, we're going to call it a wrap. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to drop us a like, rate us, follow us, share this with a friend, all that good stuff. You can find us all over the web. Links for everything are in the channel description. And make sure to check out the polls on Spotify. We'd love to hear from you. And join us next time. We're going to be talking about either the LGBTQ Pride episode that we've been promising or the second episode of Ms. Marvel, but they're both coming. We promise. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all 3,000. We hope you're all staying safe out there.
Take care, Marvel friends.
Bye.